Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Pneumatopop. I'm your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled Radical Self-Acceptance Will Change Your Destiny. I'm going to be teaching this morning from the Book of Judges, or more literally, the Book of the Champions. That is the original meaning of the word that has been transliterated as judges. They were not judges in the modern sense. There were some judicial authority, but these individuals were more rescuers or deliverers. They were, in fact, charismatic military leaders. The Book of Judges covers the time period that encompasses the beginning of the Iron Age, that is, from about 1200 to 1000. What is fascinating about this book is that we see that God's people are organized, and there is some structure with regard to what they are doing. It is interesting, moreover, because we know the background. And that these persons were slaves in Egypt or Mitzrayim. So it was one thing for a group of slaves to find deliverance from slavery. It was quite another for those former slaves to become sufficiently well organized to overthrow a long established culture, that is, the culture of Canaan. And so, the period of the great charismatic leaders or judges, as they have come to be known, covers a period of about 300 years. This particular book was written during the time of the United Monarchy, around 1000 to 961. Archaeological excavation and surface explorations have positively identified numerous physical sites. And they have told us or have written, and they have demonstrated that around 1230 to 1270 BC, a violent overthrow happened in Canaan. The sites also show that this overthrow was subsequently settled by a people with a culture considerably more primitive than the people who had been defeated. Further surface exploration revealed that in previously unsettled sites town here from about 1220 to 1150. What is also interesting is that your culture is quite similar to the culture that was developed. Judges has for us a very, that is the book of Judges has for us, a very important passage. How God's people have failed to carry out and to live the way that God has told them to live. Instead of following the command of God, and which not only involves the dispossession of the inheritance of the native people, because the state was given the most gross and abusive form of idolatry. The realism and the worship of Moloch, both of which were particularly realism, the worship of the five very highly actually involved. And again, you know this about theology and very detailed. And so God wants to move all of the plant cultures, which they failed to do. In chapter 1, we read that people of Israel moved into the field country. You know, where the Israelites were able to settle the hill country because they were able to capture water by doing pits. And the pits would be aligned with slave line that they captured rainwater. So very, very. It's also living in the hill country, but it's taking military advantage, chariotry or chariots, because the terrain was rocky, and therefore the technology that chariots found to control good shape this terrain. So these things were to their advantage. God provided for his people in every aspect. We know that the spies took back samples of the sparing there with regard to food, provided wonderful food, provided law, statutes, regulations. God gave them the 10 words of the Ten Commandments, which has is called apodictic law. It is law from which there is no recourse. And it is law stated in the imperative. So they had all that they needed from Yahweh to be successful. Now note, I said earlier that they were slaves in Egypt. This was their background. This was where they had come from. They made bricks and helped to build up the kingdom of Egypt. Later on, straw, which was used also in making bricks, was taken away by Pharaoh. They had to go out and get on straw, but still had to maintain the production. They had to work. They had quarters to be slaves note that Pharaoh believed himself to be God. Thus, we in the book of Exodus that Yahweh, judgment upon Israel, was of Pharaoh and the protest. So every attack of judgment against the Egyptian nation. Context is Yahweh and God delivered his people to rescue. And we are told that these people left Egypt in flames. There is no rabble, no disorganized mass of people. He left in flames. He left in well-oiled boots, well-organized. And so, through God's able deliverance, they not only left, they received 400 years of back age. These texts tell them to spoil the Egyptians. They were paid for their labor. Now, this is the supernatural intervention by God on Israel's behalf is well documented. So, God led these people through the 39 years of original Exodus generation. Perish the world. Their failure to believe God. And their children, which is why we have the Obama, the Rodham, second giving of the law. And so their children inherit the land. And Judges chapter 1, verse 70 reads, Napha did not drive out the people of Bethshan, or Dor, or Eglim, or Megiddo, their surroundings, for the Canaanites were determined to live land. When Israel became strong, they pressed the Canaanites for labor, but never drove them out. Here was the beginning of the because of the lack of trust, the lack of following through on the signal of God. So we go on through this chapter, see that because of this failure, verse did not believe by God, the Shemesh, that by God. The Naphtalites who live among the Canaanites and inhabitants of the land and those living in Shemesh, but not the forced laborers for them. Now notice what's going to happen here, and notice what did happen here, is that the people of God that are providing a very positive influence for the indigenous people, and they fail to move out of the land, began to adopt their way, and they became greatly influenced by the people. So, in chapter 2, the angel of the Lord was went up to Gilgal to Bochim, said, I brought you up out of the land of Egypt and led you into the land that I swore to give to your forefathers. I said, I will never break it. And you shall not make a covenant with the people of this land, but you shall break down their altars. Yet you have disobeyed. Why have you done? Now, therefore, I tell you that I will not drive them off to you. They will be thorns in your side, and their gods will be in your side. And 10 of chapter 2 records very prophetic, very bad reality. After that, whole generation had been gathered to their fathers. Another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done. So here, with the very cost, daily, to provide adequate pedagogy to God, to receive God. And so there will be no spiritual this vacuum with if it ever were, if it was very short yet. Happen at God's pressed by the side. Notice now, people of God don't just be in all without power, they're without spiritual power. Once again, they're taking on the appearance of place. They will be oppressed again. They will come under a divine gift. Now, verse 11 reads chapter 2, and the Israelites did evil or wrong in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baal. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt, and they followed and worshipped various gods, polytheists, of the people around them. So they became involved in nature, the nature deity, and even if you earlier, the fall deities. So, God's people will come under oppression. Because of this, chapter 3 reads, these are the nations the Lord left to test. Chapter 3, verse 1, all those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. He did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of Israelites, the Israelites who had not had previous battles. Verse 4, they were left to test the Israelites. See whether they would obey the Lord's command which he had given to their forefathers through Moses. And so here the people of God compromise. So this is the background of the champion. This is the God raised up who was delivered. They will be involved in cycle of discipline. They will be freed by God. They will fall again from under the God would provide. Now, one of the champs was an individual by the name of Jephthah, and his story is chapter 11. who fell at sea in verse 1, Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty warrior. His father was Gilead. Mother was Ophrah. I noticed the fact. Notice the first thing. Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty warrior. His father was Gilead. His mother was Ophrah. So we get insight into this pedigree. We get insight into the background of Jephthah. Notice what happened. Verse 2. Gilead's wife also bore him sons, and when they were grown up, they drove Jephthah away. And so here's, you are not going to get any inheritance because you are the son of a woman. So, a stigma is attached to Jephthah. And stigma has to do that is, this is who you are, Jephthah. And so you attack now. One of the things that stigma can do most often does create part of a person or a group of persons a negative thought. And the successful propaganda understand or do this or control bias and to create dependence. And to destroy us lions. So what also happens, what makes it that we create this shame in the heart or in the heart of the people. Shame is different from being ashamed. A core identity shame sees itself as somehow defective or lacking. There is and it has very in the lives of Jephthah is an attack headed of a school to be attacked or over some going biological future like yourself like element or hair, skin, just some characteristics, or here in the case of Jephthah, the attack on the pedigree, therefore the inherently unworthy of inheritance. But Jephthah was chosen by God. Jephthah was God's name for God's power. Notice, you are not going to get any inheritance in our family, they said, because you are the son of another woman. Notice the distinct language. Notice the language of the beast. Verse 3. So Jephthah fled from his brothers, settled in the land of Moab, where a group of adventurers gathered around him. Follow them. Sounds familiar. Yep. Push it off that. Get around. Yes. Or souls. Strong one. Another strong one. That's it. Jephthah is a strong one. Jephthah knew he had cast out. Jephthah also knew he had not been cast aside. He knew the distinction. Sometime later, when the Ammonites made war on Israel, the elders of Gilead went to get Jephthah from the land of Tob. Interesting, is it not? Come, they said, be our commander so we can fight the Ammonites. Well, this is an interesting thing. So the one who had been cast out, yet not cast aside, that is Jephthah, is now being sought out because of his skill as a warrior. First verse of chapter 11. He was a mighty warrior. Now he is needed. Now his skill and ability is required because now they are under attack. Notice how circumstances have changed. And so when an individual of skill was needed, that is a warrior. They didn't look around amongst themselves. They knew that the greatest and most skilled warrior had died. Notice Jephthah's reply. Verse 7. Jephthah said to them, didn't you hate me and drive me from my father's house? Why do you come to me now when you're in trouble? The elders of Gilead said to him, nevertheless, we are turning to you now. Come with us to fight the Ammonites. You will be our head over all who live. Beloved, let me say this morning that you must receive yourself, accept yourself. You must pray that stigma in your heart against yourself is removed. You must allow God show you the way, radical self. Allow this. Accept who you are and your ability to get what God has given you. If you do this, you will change your destiny. Not be ashamed. Do not allow shame to control who you are. God has made you. Have a wonderful day.